History is being directed to God's good end, where God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. For many of us, Easter functions as a spiritual pick-me-up. But what if you are going through a longer season of despair or disappointment? What if this Easter hasn't provided that helpful reminder, that needed pick-me-up this year? So how do you climb out of your dark tomb and reach out to that resurrection life? Well, maybe you need to drive down to Vancouver. In July, Regent College is hosting a week-long course called Holistic Spiritual Formation. The course description speaks of an exploration of different streams of Christian spirituality and how they can foster real transformation. Maybe that's the ticket. Or if you're not academically inclined, maybe you need to book a flight out to Calgary and join in the No Greater Love Music Festival this August, hosted in the foothills of the Rockies on the lands of the Stoney Nakota Nation. This event is billed as the up-and-coming ultimate faith festival experience. Or maybe what you really need is something more contemplative, maybe something a little more active as well. Well then, how about a pilgrimage? How about the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James, that walk that was featured in Martin Sheen's movie, The Way? If you take the French route from Saint-Jean, you'll end up walking almost 800 kilometers. If that's too much, you can just go for the last leg, the final 100K stretch to the Cathedral de Santiago de Compostela out in northwest Spain. I mean, such pilgrimages promise to be powerful opportunities to concentrate on the spiritual life without distractions, a time for prayer and meditation, learning and enrichment. There is a lot we can do to participate with God in our own spiritual nurture and refreshment. But does it always demand such effort? I mean, if Easter hasn't gotten you out of that tomb, like, where do you get the energy to book these flights, to make these trips, to plan these adventures? And what if you can't book off a month or even a weekend? I mean, is there anything that we can do if we're stuck in town? Today we encounter two travelers on the road to Emmaus. One is named Cleopas, the other unnamed. The other is unnamed, perhaps his wife or a friend. Now, these folks aren't heading out, but in fact returning from pilgrimage, returning from Passover in Jerusalem. Of course, they aren't particularly buoyant. They are shell-shocked and deflated. You see, they are disciples of Jesus, and it was on the Passover weekend that Jesus was crucified. Yes, they heard rumors of empty tombs and missing bodies, but all that they could confirm was that their Messiah was dead. And so on the road back home, they are trying to make sense of all that's happened. They're discussing their dashed hopes and their broken dreams. While they are walking, they meet up with a stranger, someone who seems interested in their conversation. And so with surprise and maybe a little hesitancy, they tell him about Jesus, a man who is mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They also speak of his downfall, how the chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. Explaining their sadness, they confess, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." They add that there were rumors about empty tombs and angels, but that Jesus himself had not been seen. Now, while the stranger listens closely, he isn't very sympathetic. I mean, he hears them, and then he calls them numbskulls, thick-headed and hard-hearted. And then he leads them in a Bible study, teaching them that what had happened to Jesus had long been foretold, promised by Moses and the prophets. The stranger more or less tells them that they had been reading the Bible through the wrong end of the telescope. They had been seeing it as the long story of how God would redeem Israel from suffering, but that instead it was the story of how God would redeem Israel through suffering. The suffering which would be taken on himself by Israel's representative, the Messiah. As they approach their destination, the town of Emmaus, the stranger moves to continue on. But when they ask him to join them for supper, when they press him to stay with them, he relents and goes with them into town. Once in their home, they settle down for dinner. But there, this guest becomes host. And he takes bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. And in this moment, their eyes are finally opened. They realize that the stranger is Jesus. And just as quickly, he disappears. Even though the hour is late, even though they haven't finished their dinner, they pull on their jackets and head back down the road to Jerusalem. You see, their faith is restored. They have encountered the risen Christ. They want to share this good news with their friends. So what do we do when we are still slogging through a season of despair and disappointment? I mean, where can we meet Jesus? How can our faith be restored? Well, if you're thinking of making a pilgrimage to Emmaus, you can forget about it. I mean, half a dozen sites have been proposed for its location, but nothing has ever been confirmed. Which makes me wonder, I mean, do you think this was Luke's intention? I mean, I wonder if Luke wants us to locate an encounter with Jesus not in any particular geographic location, but in the acts of hearing God's word and sharing the Lord's Supper. I mean, did you notice? Did you notice how the revelation of Jesus in this story is mediated by word and sacrament? How his veiled presence is made known to the travelers even as they discuss the Bible. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us? And then at the dinner table, after Jesus enacts the Last Supper, took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, that their eyes are finally opened. It's at that moment, open-eyed and wide-eyed, that they finally recognize him. Our church's statement of belief, Living Faith, tells us that the Bible, the written word, bears witness to the living word. And speaking about Holy Communion, it tells us that in the Lord's Supper, Christ is present in his world. We see this written in bold in today's Bible lesson. Where do we encounter Christ? We encounter Christ where God's word is faithfully preached and the sacraments are properly administered. And so that means we don't need to drive down to Vancouver and take a course at Regent, although it may be helpful. I mean, we don't need to fly to Calgary and attend a worship rally, although it may be inspirational. We don't need to book tickets to France and get blisters on the Camino de Santiago, although I'm sure that our faith would deepen. What seems most important is that we come out regularly for Sunday morning worship, that we hear God's word and receive Holy Communion. Yes, God can meet us out on the golf course, and yes, Christ can encounter us while camping, but for whatever reasons, of all the places in the world, Christ regularly shows up among us in word and sacrament. In our worship, Christ consistently meets with us. Of course, I'm preaching to the converted, right? Most of you know this. I mean, I've lost track of how many times someone has greeted me at the door and told me that something in the service has really touched them or spoken to them. I know that here in this congregation, in my short time with you, that what we do together here has provoked or affirmed a significant life change in at least one person. The reality is that Christ continues to meet us even as we worship here at St. Andrew's. Every Sunday in worship, we are walking that road to Emmaus. In the journey of our worship, Christ comes near. Well, thanks be to God. Amen.